Hey, everybody. It is August 17th, 2021. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And, of course, we're over at ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org. That's our home website for our Consortium for Equity, and we work with the industry. We work with educators to bring about equity and start a communication there, and it's working out just great. I hope you go over and check out what we're doing over there. You're welcome to join. Everything's free. No matter, I don't even know who you are, but I can tell you right now you're welcome to join because you're involved with education. All right, our magazine is over there. It's a great online journal. You'll love it, called Equity and Access. Pre-K-12, just click through and read it. It's really a terrific magazine, and we are the only magazine that focuses specifically on equity and access as an educational topic. So please, you'll enjoy what we write over there, and a lot of it comes from folks just like you. So please check it all out, ace-n.org, and that is where we are going to archive today's podcast. Today's podcast is with my good friend Maria Armstrong, and she has brought on a couple of folks with her. Maria is the executive director of ALAS, the Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents, and I made up a song for Maria. Maria, my favorite guest is Maria. How's that, Maria? Great.
I love that.
I just made it up. Okay, they closed West Side Story on Broadway, so I figured I'd bring it to my audience in my own stupid way.
Keep it alive.
Yeah, keep it alive. That's all there is to it. Good to have you here. Okay, as always, my pal.
It's great to be back.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And everything's looking good. How's your summer going? Good?
Yeah, you know, it's really pretty much over with at this point, right?
Don't say that. Don't say that. I live in Maine. Don't say that. All right? And speaking of Maine, we'll go all the way across the country to a man who doesn't even know it, but we have a rivalry. Ed, are you there?
Yes, I am, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine. Ed Cora, everybody. Dr. Cora, okay, you're going to tell us all about yourself, but you're associated with ALAS because you are a co-instructional administrator at their Superintendent Leadership Academy, which is what we're going to talk about, is building a pipeline of Latino administrators and superintendents, et cetera. But, Ed, where'd you go to college?
Undergrad. Salisbury University. And I'm
really? I went to Westchester. I went to Westchester.
Gotcha. So, yeah, we are rivals.
We are rivals. And you didn't know that, did you, Marie? Okay. And actually,
I did not.
And Ed doesn't know this. Okay. This is going to be funny. He's showing his age because he called it East Stroudsburg University. When I went to Westchester, it was East Stroudsburg State. Okay, East Stroudsburg State College, just like Westchester, now Westchester University, was Westchester State College. How about that? I'm showing my age, aren't I, Ed?
No, well, you know what? When I first got there, it was State College. While I was there, it changed to the university.
There you go. Wow. That's pretty cool. That's a good time to be there. Yeah, but Westchester State was originally Westchester, just like East Stroudsburg, Westchester State Normal School, then Westchester State Teachers College, then Westchester State College, and Westchester University. You can do the same thing for East Stroudsburg. Okay?
Absolutely. Going to school in Pennsylvania, Larry, was a great great experience. I'm sure you would attest to that.
I will, and I do indeed. And where are you from, Pennsylvania? Are you from there?
I'm originally from the Bronx, New York, so I'm a big Yankee
Never
fan.
Heard of it. Never heard of it. Right.
And okay. I did move to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania until I was around 23. Then I moved out of California and never looked back.
I can't imagine why. Okay, no, I'm kidding. And by the way, Ed, you do get an award. You get the Larry Thank You Award. It's 6:04 in the morning there. Are you still in California? Yeah. Right. So I appreciate this, and I hope you're drinking some coffee, enjoying it. And Maria, just so you know, Patricia Garcia is supposed to join us, and she has not called in. So I hope she's okay.
Okay.
If you have a way to get in touch with her, please feel free to do that. It's up to you. I would love her to show up.
Right now.
Okay,
yeah.
just so you know. Okay, and while Maria's doing that, Ed, tell us, I believe you are now retired. I'm not sure. I did look you up a little bit on the web. Tell us what you do.
So, Larry, I just completed my 37th year in public education. My first 3 years were in Bethlehem,
wow,
Pennsylvania, as a classroom teacher. And for the last 26 years, it was in administration. And of those 26 years, 10 was as a superintendent. So,
wow.
And, you know, I know everyone knows whether you're a teacher, a classified employee, or an administrator, going through COVID was extremely challenging. I decided to – I have shortchanged my family for way too many years. I've got 30-year-old twin daughters and my wife.
Wow.
I decided last February I told my board that I'd be stepping down and focusing more time on my family. But leading into what we're talking about today, I wanted to still give back. I've always felt like I did a good job mentoring and coaching others. So, so June 30th was my last official work day.
June 30th was your last official. You are now officially retired.
I'm on month number two, Larry, and I'm deep into a home remodel project. I'm serving as a general contractor.
There you go. Okay, fantastic. Congratulations, Ed. It's a wonderful career. Okay,
Thank you, Ed.
All right, and you're still giving, and like you said, you're still giving stuff, even though you went to East Stroudsburg, which I have to, excuse me, Maria, for 1 second, I have to continue this. My son, this is a very funny story. You'll appreciate this. My son played football at Bentley University.
Okay.
Bentley plays East Stroudsburg. So his second year playing, I think this is right, the second year playing, East Stroudsburg came up here and beat them like 77-3. East Stroudsburg beat Bentley 77-3. It was humiliating, unbelievable.
Wow.
I'm not done. In the next year, in the pouring rain, they went down to East Stroudsburg. And because they had been beaten so badly by East Stroudsburg put up a banner because that night their coach would break their all-time winning record or something, and they put up a sign. You're not going to believe this. Congratulations to East Stroudsburg coach, whatever his name is, for beating Bentley tonight. And that night, Bentley beat them on a last-second field goal.
Wow.
Nice.
So, So that concludes my conversation with Dr. Ed Cora, everybody. Thank you, Ed. It's been wonderful. East Stroudsburg bum. All right. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Larry.
No, we did beat you.
Thank you. I know.
Yeah. But we here at Education Talk Radio love you. Okay, so you're welcome here. All right, Maria, this is so funny. Maria, tell us what's going on with ALAS and your Superintendent's Academy. You're trying to build a pipeline, okay, of leaders. And we're going to talk about this in detail. But the question is, you guys, you folks want, you know, Latino administrators, Latino superintendents to look what the leadership looks like, what the kids look like. All right, it's important. It really is. And especially if you saw that census report this week, the country is turning more to people of color. I mean, it really is. Okay, they had a map that was just amazing in the New York Times. So things are really changing out there. The public is really changing. Okay, we have to kind of match the needs of the folks. So what's going on, Maria, with that? Okay, do we have enough people in the pipeline? Maria?
Well, you know, I think, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello?
Sure can.
Okay. So, you know, again, Larry, just thanks so much for having Ed and I on. Really appreciate that. And just for, you know, the listener's sake, you know, Dr. Patricia Garcia is a current sitting superintendent. And so if she can't come on, it's because she's been pulled in, you know, probably at least 5 different directions by 9 a.m. So we're going to give her that grace.
Absolutely.
Listen, I'll tell you what. One of the things that we have been, you know, pretty much chanting for quite some time is that with regard to what you're saying in the census, and, you know, yeah, we needed to check out the boxes to be able to provide that qualitative data piece. to the best that we can. But we've known, you know, for quite some time that in our larger states like California, Texas, Florida, and New York, we had already hit the 30% mark. And by 2026 is where we're going to see the mass increases in other states. And so, you know, our mission as an organization has always been to pull up through the ranks those that will, you know, take a place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of the ebb and flow of things. But for us aspiring superintendents, we're looking at not just the role of the superintendency, but getting them when they're ready to come out of the classroom, if they choose to come out of the classroom, because teacher leaders mm-hmm. exist everywhere, and everybody has their role and their function, right? And administrators can't do the work without teacher leaders, you know. So
absolutely.
So with that said, you know, we try to provide different kinds of opportunities for their continued development and success once they move into those positions. We, for a very long time, for the last 10 years, as a matter of fact, we just finished up cohort 10, have had a signature program, and that's the Superintendent's Leadership Academy, with the sole mission of being able to actually put Latino leaders in the seats of the superintendency when they arrive. And so in the past few years, you know, at one point, actually just even last year, we had five of our cohort graduates that held positions in New York as the chancellor. You know, Richard Carranza was there, and he's been a longtime member of ALAS and still is. And then we had, you know, Jesus Jara out of Nevada, Dr. Jesus Jara, you know, so Nevada, in Texas, in Florida, you know, we've got Alberto and Michael Hinojoso. I mean, so they're all over the map, right? And
mm-hmm.
so through this program, what we have found is that because we're such a unique, we have a niche, you know, for what we're trying to do, we have found that our growing from the bottom of the pipeline, if you will, to that superintendency has increased. So what we did was we started to put people were hungry for the development because of the curriculum that we have. And so now what we're doing is we're creating another program for, you know, our aspiring principals or our National Principal Leadership Academy so that we can really focus on the needs, because the needs are different at the principal level than they are at the superintendent
level. Absolutely.
And in the middle, we have, you know, our central office folks who, let's face it, Larry, you know, not everybody wants to be a superintendent. And you know, you'll talk to some of us, and we never put on our you know, it was never kind of I want to grow up to be a superintendent. It just some of us, it just kind of was a natural progression of having people like Ed mentioned, mentor you, guide you, coach you, and really believe that you could you know, take on that role. And so the Superintendent's Leadership Academy does that. And I'm going to have Ed talk a little bit more about that as well. Since he's the newbie, he's the right man for the job.
Yeah, he is
fresh
the right
out of
guy.
The seat. Yeah, yeah, you know. And Ed and I go way back. So I think it was like within the last 3 days of the superintendency, I got a hold of him again. And I said, you know, we're waiting for you. So I have much love and gratitude for this man, and he's just the right guy. So I'm going to have him talk a little bit more about what his expectations and wonderings are for the academy.
Right. Thank you, Maria. That was a nice introduction as well. And you forgot Dr. Cardona, the U.S. Secretary of Education.
No, I didn't forget him. I'm saving
the
best for last.
Okay, I didn't hear you say his name. I wanted to make sure we got him in there. Yeah, I wanted to make sure
we could come back and talk a little bit more about what we've got going on. But right now, I really want him to talk about the SLA.
Okay, good enough. And we're going to talk about that in 1 second. And what we're going to talk about right now, Ed Cora, you know, leadership matters. And you know what Maria said was very interesting in that. We don't, you know, kids interact with their teachers all the time, and we want great role models for Latino kids, all right? So we don't want every Latino teacher to move out of the classroom and become an administrator and a superintendent, but we want some of them to do that, because if you're at the top – you have a different bird's eye view, and your policies are culturally relevant. And that's an important thing, is you set the policy, okay, for a school district. That kind of thing matters. That, to me, that's where this, you know, I don't care if somebody's Italian, I don't care if they're Czechoslovakian, I don't care what they are. If they're a good superintendent, that's good. But with the population changing, okay, and it has changed so strongly in so many areas already, we need to have the right policies in place from the top for these kids to be culturally responsive. And on that, Ed, I'm going to let you go. Leadership matters. Tell us what all this is about. Why did you want to become a superintendent? Talk about your leadership academy. Ed Core, so, everybody.
Thanks, Larry. A couple different things.
You're welcome.
I want to touch on something that Maria said, and she said something about confidence. And you are completely correct. You know, not all Latinas can get into leadership roles, nor do we want them to, because being in the classroom is extremely important. However,
it is.
I think, though, one of the things that, going back to that word confidence, there are enough Latina administrators in education. I think quite a few lack that confidence. I'm not sure I can do that job. Part of the SLA is, because I'll say this, the superintendency role is an extremely challenging position, but part of the SLA talks about, we have a total of 8 sessions, and on those 8 sessions, we cover topics from introduction to the superintendency, mission and vision, strategic thinking and planning, equity in education, governance relationship with the board, leadership challenges, improvement planning and the use of data, budget process, ethics and ethical decision making. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Those are just some of the topics in the 8 sessions we cover. But it's about giving them, Larry, the confidence and the knowledge from people who have been there, done that, that you can do this. Here's what you need to know. Here's what happens. And one of the things we're going to do, Dr. Garcia and I, is we're going to give them real-life situations that we've been through and talk them through and let them know it doesn't mean that the way we handled it is the way to handle it, but this is how we handle it, and whether it was successful or not, we'll share that. But it's getting them the confidence that we feel that they need to take that next step.
That's a great way to go about it, Ed. And I have to ask this. You are Latino. It's a little prejudiced of a question. I don't mean it to sound anything. Has being Latino helped you in your superintendency? In other words, what has your culture brought to the superintendencies that you've run? And I think that's a really important question. It kind of goes to what I said before. It sets a policy. It means something. You bring your culture with you. So it's all complementary. How has it affected you as a superintendent?
I don't think it's affected me personally, but I will say this. You said it earlier, Larry. Kids really appreciate seeing someone that looks like them.
Got it.
And for them to be able to say, huh, you know what? If he did it, I can probably do it.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's right.
So, you know, I think in that, but for me personally, I'm one of these people, Larry. I am who I am. I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability, and whatever happens, happens. So I almost want to say that I hope that nothing was ever provided to me because of my race. Hopefully it was always provided to me because of my hard work, my knowledge, and my skills.
So when we talk about – Maria, answer this one, and I think I got this here, as I've had for years. Okay, when we talk about a Latino administrator, a Latino superintendent, we're not really talking about that person. We're talking about their impact on the students. Would you agree with that?
Thank you. Thank you. You know, one of the two things. One is that there's this misnomer. You know, oftentimes I'm the one that receives the calls or the emails or the texts asking, I really want to be a part of this leadership academy, but do you have to be Latino? And I said, absolutely not. What we're looking at is who do you serve? We have many folks who are serving predominantly districts where we have high numbers of Latinos. And so from that respect, we want them to be a part, be in the room, a part of the conversation, a part of the learning, so that they know even more so how they can actually advocate for students, know the ins and outs and perspectives of students, know the rich culture. You talked about culture. I'll share with you something pretty interesting that I came across just this, in the past 30 days. You know, one of the assessments, we're about data. You know, it's great that we have stories because we all have our stories, you know, and that's great, that qualitative piece. It gives it, you know, tone and color, right?
Absolutely.
But there's also the quantitative piece, and that is the data. We've, you know, it's one thing to feel something from a visceral level. It's another to have it combined with stats
Absolutely.
That back that up. And
Absolutely.
So thinking through that, we do the Superintendent's Leadership Academy, as well as the National Principal Leadership Academy. We partner with Indigo Assessments. And Indigo has an assessment tool that really looks into, you know, different styles, not only your skill set, but also, you know, your mental state, that what do you feel, your social and emotional well-being and thinking when it comes to leadership. And I'll tell you what, they shared with me that they use this assessment across the nation in different kinds of settings, but that the Latinos come up very high in marks when it comes to empathy. And I don't know about you, but it's always best to be
Great.
Able to put yourself in somebody, like I like to say, you know, when I put myself in somebody else's heels, it gives them
yep.
an opportunity to walk in mine. And so, you know, that kind of, I think, data is, like I said, it's fresh. It's something that we should take a deeper look into. And it's that caring piece, wanting to know, which is why we welcome all types of those who want to become superintendents to come into the academy so they can gain that perspective and, more importantly, that empathy piece.
Right. Or it's a wonderful thing to have on your resume. Because as we say, the student body nationally is changing, and we have to understand who we're teaching. I think it's just wonderful what you guys are doing. I think it's just great. By the way, when is the academy? Ed, I'll ask you, when is the academy? All right, or when was the academy? I think it's coming in the future. And how? Maybe I should ask Maria this. When is the academy, and how do people sign up? That's key. A la CDU, by the way, is the website. Alasedu.org. Alasedu.org. Maria, just go over that, okay?
Yeah. So, you know, we have a couple of seats open for the academy. It starts on September 11th.
Oh,
is that right, Ed? Did I nail that?
That is correct. Good job.
Okay, so it's a hybrid model where, because it's across the nation, we've got folks from across the nation that are a part of this. And so the September 11th date is the first online session, but then we have an in-person session at our October, our 18th annual national summit, a la summit, which is here in D.C. So folks will be brought in to be able to have their first session that's in person as well. So they have like 3 in-person sessions throughout the year, and the rest are polka-dotted, if you will, with the online
yeah.
sessions. So there's that. And I wanted to say, too, that, you know, if there's anyone out there that's remotely interested, wants to poke around a little bit more about gaining information, you know, thank you, Larry, for shouting out the web address. Please feel free to go there, or you can just contact Ed. You know, Ed, you can give out your email because you're the one that these apps funnel through, you know, operations@alasedu.org. You can send them there.
And
is that okay, everybody?
Get a hold of me,
go ahead,
Ed. If anybody wants to get a hold of me, they can get a hold of me, edcora, E-D-C-O-R-A, .consulting@gmail.com.
And Ed, are you consulting down other districts? I just asked that. That's great.
No, as a matter of fact, the only work I'm really doing is focusing on the ALAS Superintendent Leadership Academy, again, giving back. So, no, that's it. I'm just
– Okay, good.
I'm just
Thank you. I just wanted to clear it up. Yeah, edcora.consulting.
Yeah, and
go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's only because I haven't had it to give him his ALAS email.
He'll get one. And it's alasedu.org. And there's an icon. You can go to the Superintendent's Leadership Academy, which is key.
You got it. You know what?
And
can
I'm gonna,
I add one more
okay,
thing?
Sure,
that I think,
go ahead.
Can I add one more
go
thing, Larry?
Absolutely.
So, you know, one of the things that I wanted to really underscore is the work of our last instructional administrators. You know, we were getting into the pandemic, and I had just lost the administrator. He retired, but the administrator for the SLA, it was one single person, and that's kind of been the model. But, you know, I reached out to a couple of what I consider very, very dear colleagues, and in a pinch, they, you know, they came in and they ran the SLA for the last year. Now, it was by pure, you know, I like to think universal design, that we had a male and a female, male and a female. And what we found was it was so beneficial that that gender equity piece remain, because our participants really appreciate it. Even though we're talking from a Latino experience, it's still very different between males and females. And so we wanted to be able to touch upon what those differences are.
Wow.
Dr. Hector Montenegro, much love to him for stepping up last year, and Dr. Carmela Franco, just immense gratitude. And so they've left the SLA in great hands, and I can't thank them enough for the job that they did last year.
Right. And by the way, since you're talking about wonderful people, our other guest who couldn't make it today, Dr. Garcia, I believe she's superintendent in Geneva, New York. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, she should get some credit here. She's going to be a big help with her and Ed, okay? And Ed Corey, they're kind of running this together. Ed, I'm going to say the phrase that has made life very difficult for various superintendents. The last 18 months, the last 2 years, the pandemic years in education. Okay, talk about how that's affecting what you're teaching the folks in the academy this year.
Well, first of all, you know, as everyone knows, technology has become a big piece of education. And learning how and figuring out how do we educate those students from home. And even if schools open, there's still parents who are choosing to, I want my child to stay home. And
absolutely.
So expanding programs and opportunities for children to continue learning from home and having those teachers to be able to provide that education to students. So it's been, I want to say this very quickly, Larry. You know, probably the most challenging piece during the pandemic was, regardless of what decision you made, there were two camps. One camp that loved the decision you made, and the other camp that thought it was the stupidest decision of all time. And you had to navigate through that on a regular basis. Okay, I need to make this decision as superintendent. I know I'm going to have one group that loves it and one group that doesn't. And it was extremely challenging. But for students, it's really about, you know, making sure they all have the technology needed, those that are going to be learning from home because parents are choosing so. How do you make sure they get the same quality education? And honestly, there's nothing that replaces face-to-face. That's my personal opinion. But because of where we're at, we need to be able to do the very best job we can with providing the best and an equal opportunity to learn than those that are coming into school every day.
Yeah, it all boils down to equity, doesn't it? We got to take care of everybody. I mean, it's just that simple. That's why we have our Consortium for Equity. Okay, we're so concerned about this here. It's just, please go over there, check it out. You'll really enjoy it. Enjoy it, and you'll see what we're doing. And please participate over at ace-ed.org. I'll put in a shameless plug there. Okay, and I have to say something else. Let's not forget that at the beginning of the pandemic and through like the first year, okay, it was people of color who were suffering the most. Okay, and mm-hmm. it's also where the inequity of technology was shining far too bright. It was inequity. Okay, and we had to take care of that all the way around, and it just had to be a very, very tough time. Ed, as you talk to an aspiring superintendent, okay, and say what you said a minute ago, I love that, about the, always having the two camps, okay? We got caught totally, if I may, totally unprepared for a pandemic like the rest of the world did, but now we've been through it, all right? As you talk to future superintendents and future administrators, what would you tell them? I mean, we know another one's going to come down the pike. the world's too small these days for it not to. But we have to be prepared. What's the big lesson?
I think a couple of different things. Communication is the most important. Making sure that your board, as a superintendent, you've got to keep your board abreast of everything going on and the decisions that are going to be made so they can support it. And so when I think about, you know, to aspiring superintendents, communicate with not only your board, not only teachers, union leaders, your administrators, the community at large, and just know that you're not always going to get everyone on the same ship. And
yep.
But as long as you keep your board abreast of the situation and also get feedback from all the constituents, all your stakeholders, you got to always focus, Larry, on what's best for kids. If you can defend yourself by saying the decision I made was best for our students, that's all you can do. That's the best you can do.
I think that's a great, great answer.
Absolutely.
I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Because it is all about the kids. Okay? It's all
it
about
should.
The kids. It is. Okay? It is. And that was just an excellent answer, I got to tell you. I have to ask, okay? Let's see. I'll ask Maria this one. The superintendent pipeline. Okay? How will we do it? Not only superintendents, administrators. Latino or generically. Okay,
yeah.
In these crazy times, Maria, you know, how are we doing?
Yeah.
Are there enough people out there?
Yeah, you know, this is gonna circle right back to the Leadership Matters piece, and, you know, it's an exciting time to have Dr. Miguel Cardona as a U.S., you know, Secretary of Ed, because you talk about being able to look at someone and say, wow, I could do that.
Yep.
You know, it's that is number one, is just the expectation to set to oneself that I could do that. The other is there are so many antiquated hoops, if you will, and obstacles that are placed to be able to bring folks into the fold to even think about becoming an educator. And so one of the things that ALAS has been at the very forefront in talking to different communities out here and committees is that, you know, we got to rethink how we bring up our folks from the student level, from university level, into the credentialing programs and what that looks like. For far too long, you know, I know from firsthand experience that if I was ever going to get through any kind of college program, that I had to work full time. And so we don't invest in who actually shapes the economy, the social, the whole network, health industry, everything. We do not invest, in my humble opinion, Larry, where it starts. And if we could start looking at a different way of doing things to really encourage
yes.
to become an educator and not walk out and not have it for the privilege who can walk out even then with insurmountable mountains of student loan debt, that's an
yep.
issue. And so we have to look at all the variables that go into play from the credentialing, from the, you know, really getting kids excited about becoming educators, and this notion that, you know, you're poor as an educator because you chose to be education and you're doing it for, you know, for the greater good. It's like we need to really hold the mirror up as a nation and say, how do we fix this? We have such brilliant people, the most brilliant people on the planet, and we can't figure that out? No, I think it's time for us to actually open up the gates, sit at the table, and start figuring this one out.
I think we do. Yeah, and I agree with you. And I think, yeah, what I would do if I were president, okay, if I were king, as the old saw goes, okay, you take it boils down, in my opinion, always to economics. All right,
yep.
Education is economics. They're always the first to cut education. Oh, that's the first thing that has to go. There's no money for that. But if you don't educate people, you don't have workers. You don't have a workforce later. okay? If you put the money in at the beginning, you're going to have a workforce. If you don't have a workforce, your state dies.
Thank you.
Okay, the state legislators have to realize this, okay? It all boils down to that, and we have to really look and say, look, we need teachers. Okay, so if you want to be a teacher, we got enough money to buy 62,000 tanks. Okay, we have enough money to pay the tuition for kids to become teachers. Okay, that's
absolutely
simple. Okay, and we'll eliminate one aircraft carrier. Okay, which is just fine because we have plenty of aircraft carriers. Okay, so we got to look at this from that point of view. We have the money to do whatever we want. We just spent $800 billion on Afghanistan. We have the money to do whatever we want, okay?
Yeah.
And if we set our minds to it, we can do it. And it's folks like you guys who get this together and understand it and make people understand where it is, okay? And have fun with the Academy this year. This is going to be great. And tell them you went to Westchester, not at East Stroudsbury. It'll get you much, much more. Right.
Hey, Larry, I was going to say, one, thank you for the opportunity, and two, go ESU Warriors.
You're a Warriors. He meant to say the Golden Rams. He meant to say the Golden Rams. I don't know how he made that mistake. You should really look for somebody else to take the job, Maria. Obviously, this man is very mixed up. Okay? This is great. It's a riot. All right? All's well. Maria, thanks a million. This was just wonderful. As always, I love having you on. You know that.
And I love being on your show. Thank you so much, Larry, for thinking of us and holding Alas right where we need to be. Thank you.
Well, you're always welcome here. And Ed, good luck with everything, the superintendent's academy,
Larry.
And having fun in retirement. Okay? It's going to be great. Okay? Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Be safe, please. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. That's Dr. Ed Cora. A true good school, East Stroudsburg. I'm only kidding about Westchester, East Stroudsburg. East Stroudsburg is great. Okay, the ESU Warriors, as he likes to say. Dr. Ed Cora, retired superintendent, is going to be running the ALAS Superintendent Leadership Academy at alasedu.org, alasedu.org. And he's going to be running that, I do want to mention her again, with Dr. Patricia Garcia, who couldn't make it here today. She was supposed to be here. She just couldn't make it. And Maria Armstrong, my good buddy, who is the executive director of ALAS. We're going to archive the show. Please go over there, check out what we do at ACE-ED.org, our consortium for equity. Thank you all. Have a great day. I'm Larry Jacobs.